You are now listening to Pusim Podcast.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh, ladies and gentlemen, esteemed guests. I'm Dr. Nazoida Osman from International Law Unit, ILU for Clocky of Sharia and Law, FSU University Science Islam Malaysia, your moderator for the episode with the International Court of Justice, ICJ, for four episodes we have done so far with His Excellency Professor Dr. Diri Tilani from South Africa and our own expert from ILU, FSU University Malaysia, Dr. Farid Muhammad Hassan. So our first question, as we know that the League of Nations constituted the first serious effort by states to create a permanent intergovernmental institutional framework for the resolution of political disputes and the preservation of peace, but it failed to prevent World War II, which thus created the UN after the end of World War II. The preamble of the UN Charter states, among others, that the objective purpose of the UN is to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind. However, we have seen that wars, aggressions, invasions still took place in many parts of the world. So considering this, what is then the role of the ICJ in fulfilling its object and purpose of establishment and achieve the role of the UN? Prof. Justice Dilat, you may start first?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, again, there's two ways that you can look at it. It's true that there are all these conflicts, but one way to look at it is to ask yourself the question whether or not there would be more conflicts but for the UN and its institutions. And the purpose, I guess, in that sense, is to think of the UN as making the world better than it would be but for the UN. So that's one way to look at it. But the other way to look at it, specifically to the International Court of Justice, is to say the function of the International Court of Justice is not to prevent war. The function of the International Court of Justice is to clarify legal rules. In many instances, the court has not had the jurisdiction to address many of the conflicts that we're talking about. In some instances, like, for example, in one of the cases before the ICJ now, in Russia-Ukraine, one of the states or the disputing party has requested the court to actually make a decision, but the court still has to determine whether or not it has jurisdiction, right? So there are many of these conflicts that the court has not been involved in because it has not been approached and because it doesn't have jurisdiction. But in those instances where it has been approached, I think the court has fulfilled its function. Once the court has fulfilled its function, it's then up to others to ensure that its decisions are complied with. Because remember, the court doesn't have a police force. The court's function is to say what the law is and say what the rules are and say what the obligations of states are. And then after that, some other parts of the system them must come into play. So I always see the ICJ as one part of a cog, or as one cog in a system. And as far as its particular cog is concerned, I think the ICJ can say that it has fulfilled its function and its role.
Okay, that's interesting perspective. Okay, you know, considering your vast experience dealing with the United Nations. So, Dr. Farid.
Yeah, I think that is a very valid question to be discussed, because people think that if we have a judicial body at the international level and we still see wars or aggressions or invasions are still happening, so whether it is a failure on the part of the ICJ to stop the war from happening or the invasions from happening, so if we learn on the if we have legal backgrounds, or even those who have no legal backgrounds, we have learned and studied on the separation of powers, whereby the judicial powers or the judiciary has no powers to stop whatever political decisions made. It's just its aim is just to provide a judicial pronouncement to clarify what are the rules, what are the actual laws on that particular matter, right? And again, as rightly mentioned by Justice Taladi, that even if the ICJ has decided, it is up to the parties whether to enforce such decisions in that particular sense. Because at international level, we do not have an international police to check and to supervise on the enforcement of such decisions. So again, it goes back to the political of the states concerned. And again, if I were to agree with your statement that, you know, when you quote the UN Charter or the preamble of the UN Charter, that to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, for example, it doesn't say that even if, let's say, that that is one of the obligations of the ICG, let's say, I were to agree with you. The preamble itself doesn't say that it is to stop the scourge of war. It only say that it is to save. So it means that it doesn't mean that war should have been stopped and there shouldn't be any more wars. But it only says that should there be any wars or invasions, then the ICG will come into the picture should the case been referred to it, and judicial pronouncement will be made in order to at least save from, to stop or to put an end from a greater evil of that particular situation in terms of aggressions.
Thank you for your response on that point. The second question is, Justice Diladi, as one of the newly appointed judges of the ICJ, what is your vision or what is your aim to achieve?
So obviously all of this depends on what cases come before me, but my vision of international law is an international law that's based on solidarity and an international law that cares about those that are suffering. Of course, it's not for the court and it's certainly not for me to make those rules, but certainly to encourage the development of law in that direction, where law, international law, is a lot more sensitive to the needs of those who are most disadvantaged, those in the periphery. So a solidarity-based international law, I mean, I think that that's my sole thing. Things like, you know, dealing with poverty, wars, the scourge of war, and so on. These are the things that I hope in the 9 years that I'll be on the court, I'll be able to contribute positively towards.
Thank you, Justice Diladi. Or Dr. Clary, you want to anything or aspiration towards our speaker?
I'm intrigued with this word which was mentioned by Justice Diladi. Solidarity, right? Although it sounds simple, but it is a very strong word, right? Because, you know, the decisions to be made is not easy by whosoever sit on the bench, including Justice Diladi or including myself. We do not know, right? But as far as those who are wearing black robe and sit on the bench is concerned, so the judges must be very objective in its determination and decision. So they are bound themselves to the rules and principles, not only by the procedures of the courts, but also to the various sources of law, such as customary rules and also treaties and so on, right, in order to decide certain cases or disputes. But again, it goes back to the solidarity that it must go always, right? So it cannot go one way, because all things must be taken into consideration, so that one thing should not be ignored and just take any other parts to be taken into consideration and to decide in this particular manner. So people might think that, oh, it is so easy for someone to sit on the bench and then just pronounce something and then it will be binding and it will be enforced and it will be decided. But they have no idea on what are the things that must be done by the judges before they say something, before they pronounce something, because it will not only affect the parties concerned, but also the legal principles which have been decided or ruled by the judges, again, will be highly persuasive for future reference in future cases. So that is the effect of the decisions made by the judges at the ICJ. So I think that solidarity is a very strong word. And I'm going to cherish this, you know, wisdom and words, kind words, as mentioned by Justice Diladi. Right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Fari. Yeah, solidarity. So I also like that phrase. Okay, so basically, that will bring us to our final question, Justice Diladi. You know, as the only appointed judge of the ICJ, so how do you see the world in 10 years' time? And how do you think that the ICJ plays its role?
That's a very difficult question. We are on the precipice right now. We are I think we're standing at a point where the world looks like a very dangerous place, and it looks like it might not be a very good place to be in 10 years' time. But I still have hope that decisions that will be made by our world, as the political decisions that will be made by our world leaders, will be based on wisdom and will be based on consideration for the future, not only their futures, but also the futures of the planet, the future of our children. And I hope that, and this links to your second part of the question about sort of what role the ICJ would play in this, and I hope that the ICJ will also contribute by making appropriate decisions in this line to at least helping the world leaders make decisions that are based on wisdom, so that the world that we leave behind, the world in 10 years, is a world that we want to live in. We've got so many challenges, conflict, environment, lots of, I think, really big challenges. And I think that it's important that the ICJ plays its role in sort of contributing to a better world. But ultimately, and maybe this is, I think, linked with the point that Dr. Farid made, that ultimately decisions, have to be made by the political leaders in terms of your way forward.
That's so inspiring, Justice Tiladi. I got two main points from our last episodes, which are, I echo back your points on hope and solidarity. So I hope, that will be like what we hope in like 10 years' time for our ICJ and our UN at the cause and tribute. So Dr. Farid Mohamad Hassan, do you have any last remarks before we end our fourth episode?
My last words would be that I look forward to reading the ICJ decisions and to look forward to learning the wisdoms and also the legal reasonings from Justice Tiladi should any disputes arise, and should he will be sitting on the bench. And I look forward to learning from him very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you, Justice Tiladi and Dr. Farid. Thank you all for tuning into this Usip podcast on the ICJ. In this session, we explored the future of the ICJ and its way forward. A lot of discussion on this, but again, I echo the two main points from this session, which are hope and solidarity. I guess, once again, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy your sessions. As we conclude this session, I hope we have gained a deeper understanding of the ICJ's significance in the world of international law. The court's work is crucial in promoting peace and justice across the globe, and it is our responsibility to support its effort. That's all for now. Thank you for listening. Wabillahi taufiq wal hidayah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Usim Podcast.